You're listening to the 710 ESPN.com Kamenetsky Brothers Lakers podcast, sponsored by Care More Medical.
If you are on Medicare or know someone on Medicare, call Care More at 1-800-965-1217 today or caremore.com.
ESPNLosAngeles.com. This is Brian Kamenetsky, the Land O'Lakers blog, joined by my brother Andy.
Hey,
Andy, got one question for you.
Lay it on
me. Do these balloons blow up into funny shapes?
Not unless round is funny.
Not unless round is funny. Let me tell you something, Andy. I think round is funny.
It is funny when it's in Raising Arizona. If it involves a scene from the Nicolas Cage Holly Hunter classic directed by the Coen brothers, Raising Arizona, 1987, my all-time favorite comedy.
That's exactly right. And why Raising Arizona? Because that's where the Lakers are. They're in Arizona. They're trying to raise some hell.
Well, what they're trying to do is raise the level of their play.
In Arizona, which is close enough for
us anywhere.
To use the theme.
They need to do it a lot of places.
Big game tonight, Friday night, Lakers against the Suns. Difficult team to play against. The Suns aren't thought of as necessarily the front runners or anything like that in the Western Conference. But at the same time, they are 40-25. They have won 8 out of 10. They're a good team.
They're 9-3 since the All-Star break. They're basically 14-4 from February on. They've been playing quite well.
Right. And, of course, the last time the Lakers were in Phoenix, they got absolutely run out of the building. So,
literally, they were told, just get out.
Get out.
They didn't even shower.
I know. It was stinky, stinky flight home. Given all those things that have gone on, the way the Lakers have played relatively poorly, 3 losses in a row on the road trip, and then a very narrow win Tuesday night against Toronto, this is one people are going to have their eye on. Definitely worth a little pregame chatter. So to help us with that, joining us now on the phone, Seth Pollock, Bright Side of the Sun, Sports Blog Nation, everything you need to know about the team, www.brightsideofthesun.com. When you look at the teams in the Western Conference, everybody sort of talks about the big four. You got the Lakers, Denver, Dallas, and Utah kind of creeping up. The Suns kind of get ignored, even though the record is really, pretty competitive with some of these other teams. Is that fair? Are people sleeping on this team?
No, that's totally fair. I mean, this team has been completely inconsistent this year. They had a a good start to the season, came out 14-3. And then we're sub-500 team for 2 full months. And now they're back in the track. You know, the team's now 14-4 since the end of January. But, you know, the West is tough. And you know, I don't know what to think about this team. I certainly don't expect other people to come out and say the Suns are better than Dallas or Denver or that team in L.A. that we don't like to talk about.
I assume you're not talking about the Clippers. This is the Lakers you're referring to.
That's who I'm talking about, exactly, the Clippers.
Well, I mean, you did get your revenge on him by giving him Tim Thomas.
Yes, and that worked out really well for them. So,
Robin Lopez being put into the middle and Amari Stoudemire sliding over to, I think, what most people consider his natural position at power forward. How has that changed the way Phoenix plays? And also, what do they do that still remains the same from before?
Well, it's radically changed the team, both, you know, on the floor and kind of personality wise. Robin is a unique kid. We've not had a guy like him in Phoenix for quite a while. He's a hard nosed guy. He likes to take hard fouls. He's probably the most physical Suns player that I can recall over the last 5 or 6 years. So he changes the personality that way. Obviously, his size and presence in the paint is just huge on the defensive end and rebounding. The Suns, since he's been in the lineup, he's had a net plus 6.5 impact on rebounding differential, which, you know, for the Suns have always been a poor rebounding team. And now suddenly over the last couple months, we're one of the best rebounding teams in the league. So that's just huge for the team. The offense that he brings has been a bonus. No one really expected that so soon. But the kid's really good on the pick and roll, and the Suns like to go to that early in games, get, you know, kind of surprise people. He catches. He's far more agile than you'd think for a kid, for a guy his size. He finishes well, and he's great on the offensive glass, gets put back. So, you know, he's putting up points, he's putting up rebounds, he's shooting effectively, and most important, he knows his role, and he keeps guys out of Amari's way on the glass, and it's had a huge impact. Now, it obviously changes things for the Suns. It gives a different look for Amari, mostly because, you know, you've got a guy down in the post. It's taken some space away from him to operate the pick and roll. But what the Suns do then is just bring in Channing Frye and go back to the way they were playing early in the season, spread the court, run the pick and roll with Amari, and you know, put up points that way. So they really have the best of both worlds when you've got Robin and Channing, you know, available. Now, tonight we don't have Channing because he decided to get his first suspension in his entire career.
Good timing.
Exactly.
The thing with Lopez, I mean, it seems like it provides you guys with the kind of true center. I mean, he's a 7-footer. We're not talking about, you know, a fake guy in the middle.
He's 7 feet. Actually think he's a little bit bigger. He's one of these guys that when you see him in person is bigger than the numbers. And some guys are smaller than, you know, you go, oh, that guy's not all that big in person. But Robin's the guy, he takes up a lot of space.
Right. But it sounds like he's the kind of more mobile, agile player that, you know, you guys tried the Shaq thing.
We don't say that.
Right. It was the wrong approach. I think we can all agree. This is more along the lines of a real center that fits better into the system that you guys have.
Yeah, absolutely. I argued when, you know, they traded Sean Marion that this is exactly the kind of guy they needed to get. They went a different direction for a big name. But Robin's just, he's just a perfect fit. He's really changed the team. I mean, over the last, since the All-Star break, the Suns played 12 games. In 8 of those games, they held teams to under 100 points. They did that 10 times over the previous 53 games. That's a lot of numbers. I probably just confused myself. But basically, the defense has been a lot better with Robin, and the team needs to do that. I mean, this is still the best offensive team in the league, but, you know, as we all know, you've got to play both sides of the ball.
The Arizona Republic's Dan Bickley wrote an interesting article about Amari Stoudemire, and I guess the changes that he's seen in Stoudemire's attitude, the way Stoudemire has been playing, the way he's been more engaged with teammates. But, of course, I mean, the skeptic would say it's about the timing. You know, that he's coming up on a contract, a new deal that he either wants from the Suns or somebody else. How much of what Bickley has noted has you've seen, and how genuine do you find it?
Well, two different questions, obviously. I agree completely with what Dan said and what he's observed that, you know, Amari has said he's playing the best basketball of his career, and I completely agree, but it's only been a couple weeks, and so I'm naturally a skeptic, and I'd love to know that he was going to keep playing this way for the next 3, 4, 5 years, or, you know, maybe even just 3 years, but his history just doesn't let you do that. He's been inconsistent. He's gone through stretches before where he's teased you with this just really high level of play and then dropped off. So, you know, it's a tough call. We're just enjoying it now because it's really fun to watch Amari play, not just, you know, great offensive basketball, but at least decent defense, much better on the boards. I think Robin has a big impact on that because it clears a lot of space for him. And he is. He's a better teammate. I was watching him in practice yesterday. He was the most vocal guy on the floor, and that's new. That's not normal for Amari.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because you guys, you know, because the Suns are among the more enlightened teams in the NBA and give non-mainstream sources access. You are there. You're on the floor. You're watching. Did the mood change at all, or was there a difference between the pre-deadline when Amari's gone, it's just a matter of time, to post when, okay, we have a team, you know, we're still going to the playoffs and let's see what we can do? I mean, did it change appreciably just at practice?
Yeah, it's hard to really say that it had to do with the deadline. It really had more to do with winning. I mean, the team, when they're winning, is really fun. It's a loose locker room. It's got a lot of big personalities, some really, you know, kind of goofy guys, and Channing and Jared. And when they're winning, they're having fun, and you can see that. When they're not winning, you know, they wear that on the sleeves. Well, which is, I think, typical for most teams. So in the sense that the trade deadline coincided with the team playing better, you know, that obviously impacted the mood of the team.
You recently wrote on the Bright Side of the Sun blog about the defensive.
You read my blog?
Yes.
Yes.
As a matter of
I'm
fact.
Honored.
We do. We didn't just like pick you out of a hat here, Seth.
I mean, okay.
These things happen on purpose.
Anyway, I this wasn't through a Google search. We've had contact before. You know that.
I know. I'm just
But you'd recently written about the defensive improvements by the Suns and how much, basically since February and beyond, they've, by their standards at least, cranked it up. And, you know, they've gotten to a point where they're playing, you know, not lockdown defense, but certainly acceptable enough that it can, you know, enhance what they do offensively. What do you think have been the keys to that defensive improvement?
Well, I asked Grant Hill this exact question yesterday because I'm sure I have an answer, and I was hoping, you know, Grant being a smart guy, that he would say something brilliant that would reveal the secret, but he didn't. You know, what he talked about was, you know, the team actually played decent defense to start the year on that stretch. It's obviously been much better on the second winning streak. He talked about how they lost confidence in the defense during the slump. There were a lot of times where Gentry was going to the zone early, and the team is a little kind of internal, well, we don't like playing the zone, we're not good at it, but he's doing it anyway. And, you know, but they kind of stopped doing that. They started switching more. But mostly I think it's just, you know, this is a team who's led by two guys who are, you know, ancient by NBA standards. And I really think there's something to them pacing themselves through that middle portion of the season, and they see the finish line, and, you know, Grant Hill has really stepped it up over the last couple of weeks, and I think he's kind of dragged everybody with him. Obviously, you know, having Robin in the starting lineup, like we talked about, has been huge.
In hearing that explanation, it made me think about how during the Terry Porter era, the team was very obviously unhappy with what was being asked of them, and it affected their play. I remember you specifically... Yep. Called out a lack of professionalism, and then, you know, hearing you talk about how they would go into zone early and not enjoy it, and it would affect them. Is this a team you think that gets, do they get affected a lot by how much they enjoy what they're doing out there? I mean, are they, I guess, moody along those lines in terms of success or lack thereof?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. The one thing I can't do is really compare that to a lot of other teams. I've not been around a lot of other teams, so I don't know how unusual that is, but this is definitely a team that thrives off chemistry and being happy. And, you know, Steve talks about spirit and rhythm and balance and harmony, you know, those kinds of words all the time, and they definitely play better when they're happy. And it is also, it's a team, because of who its leaders are, and I include Amari in that, that needs the right coach who's not going to, you know, he's not going to come in and try to be the drill sergeant taskmaster. You're going to do it my way or the highway kind of guy. That just, obviously, that didn't fly with this team.
We talked a little bit about the pick and roll, which obviously the Suns run very well and very effectively, mm-hmm. both with Steve Nash and Dragic. I was about to combine the two of them into Steve, like Nagic or something like that.
Goran Nash,
right?
If
something
put
like that.
Together, that'd be one of the best point guards ever. So
yeah, it'd be very tall. Like 12 feet
athletic,
tall. Right.
Smart.
I want to play something
half Slovenian, half Canadian.
Yeah, obviously,
exactly. It's what kind of, you know.
Where do you get your passport? That's a tough one. I want to play something for you. The pick and roll and pick and roll defense is obviously a huge and consistent topic of conversation in LA, given what the Lakers do defensively. Here's a couple comments from Kobe Bryant after practice on Thursday afternoon, I should say.
No, it's tough. You know, Phoenix is a tough team to play defense against, screen and roll. They, you know, they run a great deal of it. They run it differently than the other teams in terms of having four shooters, space the floor, guys that can pick up lobs. Different than what we're used to even defending. So, great. Along those lines, what does Nash's ability to shoot as well as he does change for you guys? Well, you have to pay attention to him camping out behind picks. You know, so as a result, you wind up having to go over the top, a lot of chasing and things like that. And then you open up to his penetration and passing angles.
So we're probably
that's what shooting ability does.
Okay, so I mean, listening to Kobe talk about the ways in which Phoenix runs the pick and roll and how it is a little bit different and the effectiveness of Steve Nash within it because of his shooting. What do teams do effectively
to stop that? When the Suns' pick and roll attack has been slowed down, why?
It's been switching, and LA was one of the first teams this season to start that, then followed by Toronto, and then it pretty much quickly everyone followed suit, and they're switching the big on the Steve. And Steve was hesitant in taking his shot, and sometimes he would shoot it quickly, and sometimes he would mess around the ball. They would try to go into the post, but you know the Suns still don't throw the ball in the post very well. Let's just leave it at that. So the switching the bigs on the Steve was the most effective defense teams used against it. And it worked for quite a while, actually. But I think they've solved that. I think they've gotten better at swinging the ball and getting into the post and taking advantage of the mismatch. I think Steve's been more decisive. And what he recognizes is that even if he's taking a bad shot because Amari or because Robin or even because Channing on a pick and pop is being covered by a smaller guy, they have the advantage on the glass. So he'll just throw the ball up at the rim and let his big guys go get it. And so that's negated the switching that's worked earlier in the year. There's really nothing else you can do. I mean, the only thing you can do is mix up the coverages. Sometimes you trap him. Sometimes you follow him around single coverage. You know, the Spurs have been over the years the most effective at bringing the third guy over and rotating really well. You really have to have just precise rotations to slow down the pick and roll.
And
not a lot of teams do that.
As they say, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Exactly.
Last question.
This is how you cover Kobe, right?
Basically. Last question for you, because we know you have a busy day ahead of you. No Channing Frye, which you mentioned before, but also no Leandro Barbosa tonight. He won't play. What does that do to Phoenix's attack? I mean, these are two pretty important players in terms of the offense.
Well, Leandro's been out for, 6 weeks now, and even when he was in, he'd been playing with a sore wrist and shooting the ball poorly, and he was really hurting the team, frankly, for about the 4 weeks before he had the surgery. So, you know, the bottom line is Leandro's not missed. Goran is playing excellent ball, and he's a much better defender, is shooting the ball really well, and so, you know, as great as Leandro is, he's not going to be missed. Channing is a big deal because what Channing does is he spreads the floor. So teams like the Lakers have to put the four to cover, assign the four like Gasol to cover him out on the three-point line. That leaves Amari matched up against a slower five. And that's the kind of advantage that Amari loves to take advantage of. So it really, you know, it's a big weapon for the Suns, and they definitely will miss it. Coach talked about that a lot today.
Seth Pollock, bright side of the Sun.
Formerly Phoenix Stan, but he has finally come out and let the entire world know who he is.
He's not afraid anymore.
No, no. Don't live in fear.
That's exactly right.
We have to fear the deer. I think that's the catchphrase going on in the NBA these days.
I agree.
We
appreciate the insight into the Suns, and we will talk soon, maybe even in a potential playoff matchup. Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you a lot for the time.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks, Seth.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
All right, there you go. Seth Pollock, bright side of the Sun, Sports Blog Nation, really good place to go get your Suns news. And I do like the theme. These are not guys that are just writing from their, you know, the proverbial basement. They get full access. They're at games. They're at practices. Great resource to check out, a fun team to watch. Still a fun team to watch.
I doubt there is a Phoenician in that metropolitan area not reading that blog, probably as we speak.
Right now, in their cars. They shouldn't be doing that. Quick thoughts, Andy, before we go. Tonight's game, win, lose, draw. What are you thinking?
I think they're going to win. I really do, because I'm getting the sense that urgency that we've been talking about, whether on air, on various shows on 710, LA Sports Live, Mason in Ireland, what have you, or just we've been writing about, that urgency that's been lacking, I'm starting to get a sense that it's starting to sink in. And from there, even if the execution isn't quite where it should be, and frankly, I doubt it will be, I'm starting to get the idea that maybe we're going to see them slowly rounding into form, and I think this game will be a very good place for them to start.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing that I would question is just, like you talked about, that execution. The Suns, even with Lopez in the middle, even without Channing Frye tonight, are still a little bit of a different animal than your typical team. You know, the execution is a little bit different. We'll see a lot of, you know, they've talked a lot about the screen and roll defense. We'll see how well they can do that tonight, how aggressively they play against it. It's a difficult, to me, the playing the Suns is still about mental discipline. It's about making sure you get back in transition. It's about taking good shots, beyond all those mechanical things about guarding Steve Nash or what it might be. The Lakers, if they come out and play a smart game, should beat the Suns. And, you know, the big question is, I mean, will they come out and do it? I would have thought exactly the same thing you were saying before in terms of the urgency and all that after the third loss in a row in Orlando before the Toronto game. So I agree with you. I think they'll win, but I can't remember a game that we've written about, that we've talked about on the air or in one of these, you know, preview podcasts where I said, I think they're going to lose.
No,
I always think they're going to win.
No, I predicted some losses. I predicted that they would lose in Memphis. That they would lose. I thought they would lose in Boston, then win in Memphis. Turned out I had it reversed.
Right.
But we've predicted losses.
I'm not saying that I never think they're going to lose, but I mean, my point is, generally speaking, when people ask me, what do you think is going to happen tonight? I always think the Lakers are going to win because I think they are a better team than the teams they're going to play. Tonight is just going to be, it's a proving game, a proving ground game against a good team, that the type of game they haven't won enough of this year. So I always like watching them play the Suns. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, hopefully that proof is in the pudding.